sometimes it's hard to know how to be a friend to someone who's depressed. While someone who suffers from clinical depression might need professional help, family and friends can make a big difference in a lot of cases. But what's the right way to reach out?
Relationship expert Elizabeth Bernstein looked into the topic for her latest column, and she's here to share what she learned. Elizabeth Bernstein is a columnist for the Wall Street Journal, where she writes the Bonds on Relationships column. You can find a link to her latest on the Central Time Facebook page. Elizabeth, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So how did this topic come about? What made you think about it?
Well, it's a topic that I had been wondering for a long time. Whenever I've seen somebody hurting, when I myself have been sort of in pain, how can I let people help me? I started to think a little more about it when Robin Williams died and thought, you know, there were a lot of celebrities out there saying, you know, I knew him for decades. He was a good friend. I had no idea. And I thought, well, you know, how do we know then if a loved one's hurting? And then I had a friend recently say to me, you know, I'm really hurting. In fact, he checked into the hospital. He's a veteran, checked himself into the VA PTSD program and sort of signaled, and I was at a loss. How do I help these people? How do you help someone you care about? You can say, I'll be there. You can call me. You know, we can get together. Everybody nods and says yes, but that's not really effective help. So I wanted to do the research really for myself to find out.
Well, I think a starting point for a lot of people, I'll include myself in this, is I don't know what to say. I know I don't want to make things worse. So in the end, we're just kind of paralyzed and don't say anything.
We don't say anything. And so this is, you know, we're talking about how do you help somebody who's depressed? How do you help somebody who's grieving, who's bereaved because they've lost a loved one? You know, and many times we do exactly that. We don't know what to say, so we don't say anything. We're very worried we're going to say something wrong. Or we come up with platitudes. We say, oh, time heals all wounds. You have a lot to live for. Why are you so down? That kind of thing. Those are not helpful to somebody who's seriously struggling emotionally.
And as part of the problem here is that there's not really a one-size-fits-all approach to depression. We have to tailor it to the people, use common sense, and kind of feel our way, even though there may be general guidelines.
Exactly. So, you know, somebody may be very depressed or, you know, they may have lost a job or, you know, had a breakup with, you know, a loved one and be depressed. But that there's something different. There's clinical depression. They may be very, very seriously ill, have a chemical problem in their brain that is causing them a depression. Somebody who is bereaved because of a death is, that's a different situation. They might not have that chemical imbalance and be clinically depressed. But they can be very down. So all of these things you do have to sort out. How do I, you know, how do I talk to this person? How do I offer help? But then even so, there's sort of, you know, ways to step up that are the same.
Well, and you mentioned a couple of the don'ts, and it seems like maybe one guideline, and in reading some of the work you did on this, one key is to not, I guess, put the blame on the person doing the suffering, not to say what's wrong with you or you're suffering wrong, in effect. How can we avoid that pratfall?
Exactly. It goes back to that phrase, you know, oh, come on, you've got everything to live for. You have beautiful children, beautiful wife, you know, great job. What's wrong with you? Well, you're really just saying, like, hey, you know, something is wrong with you, and the person's already worried. You know, why do I feel this way? You can't ever really understand somebody's, like, psychic wounds, but we can be there. So the opposite of that, of saying, you know, what's wrong with you, would be to say, how are you? Which is really the first opening line, you know, we should use for any of these situations. How are you? Ask the person, how are you really? Are you okay? Again, you don't want to say, you know, because I've noticed you look horrible. You don't want to say that, you know. But you want to say, you know, are you okay? You know, and then listen to the answer. Don't just keep talking over it.
And what happens when you get that answer? Sometimes that's the difficult thing. If someone really is honest with you and opens up and shares their vulnerability and their pain, it's that follow-up that can trip us up sometimes. So what is the right way to move forward at that point?
So you want to, first of all, you know, you only want to really be asking if you do want to follow up, if you feel like you're capable of the follow-up. If you're not, you may see somebody hurting, say a coworker really hurting, you don't feel like you are capable, you don't have the time, or you don't know the person well enough to follow up, you can direct someone else to that. You can, you know, go to somebody who does know that person better and say, hey, I'm worried about Jim. Why don't we, you know, maybe you should do something. But the follow-up, you're right, it's very hard. So you want to listen to what they're saying and then ask them, hey, how can I help you? What can I do? I can listen if you want to talk more. I could distract you. Do you want to go out shopping? Do you want to go out biking? Anything, you know, whatever you do. You want to go out hunting? Whatever it is, you know, I can take your mind off of this. I can just come over and be with you and be quiet. But you want to ask them what kind of help they need. Would it help if I checked in with you? How? Would it help if I checked in with you on the phone? Would it help if I checked in with you via text? So you don't really have to talk if you don't want to. The follow-up question is to ask how to help.
And then once you get that answer, how to help, how do you then take that forward? How do you make sure you are in the right place, helping enough, not badgering the person who may not, you know, may not want your help all the time? Where do you take it then?
Exactly. Again, you could just keep asking. But, you know, a good sort of rule would be to be an active friend. So, you know, to send text, hey, I'm thinking about you. I have a friend who lost his wife this summer, very unexpectedly. And, you know, I send a lot of texts. You know, hey, I'm thinking of you. How are you doing? You know, we're both scuba divers. Do you want to go out and dive sometime? And I'm not offended that he doesn't want to, but he says, hey, I appreciate the text. And he told me recently, actually for this article, I talked to him, and he said, you know, that's what I love, texts from friends that say they're thinking about me. I know I'm not alone. I know I have people reaching out to me. I could be with them if they want, but I don't have to talk about what's really hurting. So you want to be that active friend, send the invites. I would err a little bit more on the side of being engaged than not engaged. I think that the problem, you know, where we lose people like Robin Williams is, you know, maybe people are not engaged enough.
And I want to bring a caller in on this. And by the way, you can join us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. How do you like to reach out to people when you find out they're struggling, that they're depressed? And what do you need from people in return? What does work? What doesn't work? We're going to go now to Anna in Harbor Springs, Michigan. Hi, Anna.
Hello. I have experienced chronic depression for many years, most of my adult life, and I find that a couple of things, the things that you're saying are also very helpful. There are a couple other things. One is for the people, the friends, to relax and not be afraid of the depression and just let the person be. You know, whether you're talking to them or not, if you do ask them questions and they do respond, then of course, you know, you listen, you let them know that you're listening, but relax about it. And the other thing is to not assume that they don't want to go out and do fun things. Those things can be a really good distraction when somebody really needs distraction.
Okay, thank you, Anna. Those are some very good points you made there. And one, her first point is to relax around people. I guess the takeaway here is that a lot of people might get kind of worried or tense when they're working with or talking with a person who's depressed, and so they're not maybe at their best or able to be their best selves if they're tense. What do you think about that, Elizabeth?
Yeah, I agree. So many people probably are very nervous around this. Depression is very frightening. We worry about what's happening to that person. If you haven't been depressed before, you don't fully understand what's happening in their mind. If you have, it's frightening because you know you could go there too. So all of it is frightening. We don't want to do the wrong thing. We're worried this will happen to us someday. All of it's frankly pretty terrified. So you have to relax and just say, hey, come on with us. We're going to dinner. You know, I know you're not feeling great. We would love to have you there. You don't have to be yourself. You don't have to be funny and talk and just come out, enjoy everybody's company. I'll pick you up and drive you. That kind of thing. You know, we don't expect you. Let them know. We don't, you know, we understand. We don't expect you to, you know, have to step up and be super social. Just come with us and be there. Just be where you are right now. Be around us, though.
Well, and from what Anna said about going out and doing fun stuff and what you said, Elizabeth, about, hey, let's go scuba diving together, we can relax some of the expectations on ourselves. We don't have to be a brilliant therapist to help a friend through depression. We don't have to interact with the depression part. We can do the fun stuff with them and help take their mind off.
Exactly. I mean, I can think back to a time when I was depressed. My sister took me hiking. I'm not a hiker. She took me hiking and marched to this mountain in North Carolina. And she sang, and then on the way back, she put on some country music, and we just had a great time. And I thought, you know, I don't feel great today, but I see I'm going to feel great in the future. You know, like I could see the end of the tunnel by that. And so I think there's that. You don't have to, if you're depressed, love every moment. But that's what we as people helping don't have to be so scared of it. Just bring them out. Like stay connected. Don't, people who are depressed isolate themselves. That is one of the symptoms. It's one of the huge problems. And so if you can sort of help that in any way, that's great. Just, you know, hey, stop by, brought you some bread I baked, that's it, don't need to talk, anything like that I think is fine.
Well, this is maybe a dumb worry, but I'd be worried about, do I want to be all happy in front of a person who's dealing with this unhappy situation? Is that, you know, flaunting it in their face?
Well, you know, I think that is, you know, a strong worry that anybody would have. And, you know, you'd have, of course, see if your friend is crying away and, you know, really quite devastated trying to talk to you. Yes, cracking jokes is probably not a good idea. But on the other hand, think about, I'm sure we've all been in situations where maybe we've lost a loved one or we've been at a funeral and somebody will even say something funny about the person who's passed away. And people laugh. They want to remember the good times. You know, we're human and that pull towards the light is also very strong. Again, I don't think you have to not be yourself. You just have to sort of, as we were saying in the beginning, feel your friend out. Yeah, you don't want to be, you know, a clown if they're really, really hurting, but, you know, trying to get them to laugh, if you feel like that might help, is a good thing.
We're talking to relationship expert Elizabeth Bernstein about how to be a friend to someone who's grieving or someone who's depressed.
And we'd like to hear from you on this. What do you do to support or comfort your loved ones when they're down? And how do you help a depressed friend or family member? What do you look for in others when you're feeling down? And what do you wish people would just not do when you're down? 800-642-1234 is our number. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can send an email to talk@WPR.org. We're picking up our conversation with relationship expert Elizabeth Bernstein about how to be a friend to someone who's suffering from depression.
And you can join the conversation. How do you treat your friends? How do you try to help people you know when they're feeling down? Maybe they're grieving. What kind of support do you look for from your friends when you're having a hard time? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email talk@WPR.org.
And we'll go now to your calls. Kathy is first from Appleton. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Hi, what are you like when you're feeling down?
Well, what I've done for a friend of mine was just seasonal depression. And what we've done before is get together and I'd say, well, I'll help you clean. Like, we'd do it together at her house because that's, when people are depressed, they have a hard time getting the motivation maybe to clean or do their errands. And I'll do that with her, and she'd be like, okay, but then I'm going to help you tomorrow, you know, so she didn't feel like, you know, like I was doing something too much for her.
Okay.
And then, so then it just seemed to cheer her up because we would have fun doing it. And it would take a load off of her because, you know, whatever it was that was bothering her, either her housework or her errands or even writing out her bills or going through things in the basement, you know, whatever it was that we did, it just took that load off of her because she didn't have the motivation to get started by herself.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. Those are some great ideas there. And something that Kathy's doing that you mentioned, Elizabeth, is also doing something concrete, reaching out, but also saying, here's what I'm doing for you. So it doesn't have to be sort of an amorphous reaching out. She says, I'm going to come over and we're going to clean together. And it seems to help everybody.
Yeah, it's really great. And it's wonderful to remember that people who are depressed, they don't have that motivation. So, you know, depression zaps your energy. So, you know, they may not feel like, you know, cleaning or cooking or a lot of things. So saying, hey, yeah, I'm going to come over. Or, you know what, you probably could use an afternoon. I'll take the kids. Or, let me cook something for you and bring it over. It's really helpful. We do these things for people who are grieving a death. And so we don't think, I think we are more scared of depression and even more baffled by what to do. So sort of remember the same things. Like, we can help you concretely. Or, you know, I'm going to the store. I know, you know, you might have gone, but maybe you want to go to the grocery with me. It'd be fun to do it together. That kind of thing.
Thanks for that call, Kathy, at 800-642-1234. Elizabeth, you give a case in your piece of someone who was experiencing depression themselves and actually reached out and told people, hey, here's what I want from you. Here's how to talk to me, that kind of thing. Is that common? Is that something that is helpful for people in that situation to do?
I think it is helpful. I don't think it's that common that people think to do it. You know, when you're depressed, you're not thinking correctly or well anyway. You know, but this person was grieving somebody who had died and, you know, had his friend actually say to him, hey, you're not yourself. And he felt that on top of losing his friend who had died, he now had other friends talking about how he wasn't himself. He didn't look, you know, great. He wasn't happy. And so he felt offended on top of his loss. So he did. He wrote a letter to everybody and said, look, here's how you can help me. You can tell me you love me. You can invite me out. You can ask what I need. What I need from you. But, you know, that I imagine would be very helpful to hear. You know, here's how you can help me, but then you have to follow through. You have to, if somebody says to you, hey, here's how you can help me, you know, you can't just nod and go away. You gotta follow up.
In terms of, you know, making those missteps when we're trying to help someone, do you think that it's better to just to try and maybe step in it once in a while, but to make that effort, is it better to bungle a little but make the effort than just to sit on the bench?
Yeah. You know, I think it's better to bungle it. And I don't think you can really bungle things too badly if you say, hey, how are you doing? Not the elevator talk, you know, oh, hey, how's it doing? Fine, thanks. You know, hey, how are you? Are you okay? And if somebody's really, really down, I think that there's important questions, follow-up questions. Are you safe? You know, have you ever thought of hurting yourself? Maybe that's a very shameful topic. People might not want to be honest about it, but if somebody is, or you get the sense that they are really might be suicidal, another question is, you know, do you have a plan? Because you're going to be able to, you know, get some type of sense of where they are and how far down the road, you know, you need to pull them back from. So, you know, but I just think, yeah, I think erring on the side of, you know, a little bit, I don't want to say pushy, because you don't somebody, but being a little bit eager to help is much better than just letting somebody suffer on their own.
Go back to our callers now. We've got Beth on the line in Madison. Beth, hi there.
Hi. My daughter was hospitalized with depression a couple times, suicidal in that, and I didn't know what to do, and my best thing I think I did was I said right to her, what can I do to help you? And that made her stop and think, and kind of got a little smile on her face and said, you know, just knowing that you're willing to do anything is enough. And she did give me some, you know, things like, would you take me shopping? Would you go with me? Or something like that, you know. But it was just, I think, her knowing that I was willing to do whatever kind of set her more at ease.
Beth, thank you so much for sharing that story. Good luck to you and your daughter. Elizabeth, can it be just that simple?
Yeah, I actually think that that is the key. How can I help you? And letting that person know, again, depression is sort of a loss of hope. So a person who's depressed is going that sort of this rabbit hole where it gets darker and darker and there's no hope. And so understanding that someone is there, someone is willing to stop what they're doing and come over and help you, willing to do whatever it takes, is huge. It's huge. Even if the person, the depressed person, doesn't take you up on it right away, they might down the road, but it's huge. How can I help you is so key.
And let's get another caller now. Julia joins us in La Crosse. Hi, Julia.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I had a bout of major depression in my first few weeks of college, and I went to a college that was different from most of my friends in high school. And when I was going through this, I started reaching out to them, you know, trying to talk to them, and one of them actually told me to stop contacting her because I was being a bummer. And I just wanted to say, you know, if you know someone that's depressed, that's trying to reach out to you, don't just abandon them. Find some other way to help them.
Okay, well, that's good advice. So did you find someone who was able to help you, or did you end up having to find other resources?
I ended up there. I met some amazing people at college that took way better care of me than, you know, the people that I'd known for 4 years. They would come to my dorm room, make sure that I was eating, and would just sometimes just come and sit with me. Like, we didn't have to talk or didn't have to do anything. We could just sit in the same room and do our homework. And that just, it really helped me know that I wasn't alone.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you, Julia, for sharing your experience. And, you know, that can be a painful thing when you're going through a painful time. If someone is not willing to be there for you and you do make that effort to reach out to them, Elizabeth, do you have any thoughts on that situation?
Yeah, I think that, again, that's very, very important. Sometimes the person doesn't want to talk, but, again, depression is isolating. So you just having somebody around to know, you know, hey, I'm not really alone, even if I can't rise to the occasion and even sort of chit-chat, is really helpful. That's why I also think that invitations to do activities where you might not have to talk, like, do you want to go biking? Do you want to go? I thought scuba diving was great. You don't have to talk at all. You can't talk underwater. You know, so, you know, do you want to just take a walk? But again, how can I help you? Can I just come over and do my homework with you? That's huge.
What if, though, there's a situation where it's like this person is in a bad position, the person they're asking for help realizes it's out of their ability to deal with? How do you get somebody toward maybe professional help if they need that in our last 30, 40 seconds or so?
So I think that's a very important question. You can ask them, hey, have you thought about professional help? You know, it's, you know, it's certainly you want to be vulnerable too. If you've ever had professional help, if you've been down, something's helped you, great to share it. You know what? I've gone to a therapist. It's been great. But also, sometimes when people are depressed, they'll resist help. You want to reach out to other people around that person. If you feel you're in over your head, you want to reach out to somebody else who might be closer, more qualified, better equipped, and get them on the case too.
Elizabeth, thanks so much for joining us again.
Thank you so much.
That's Elizabeth Bernstein. She's a columnist for the Wall Street Journal, where she writes the Bonds on Relationships column. With us to talk about her latest piece on how to be a friend to someone with depression, we've got a link to that on the Central Time Facebook page.